the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter. Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they noticed that some of the disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition.'" Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. Fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly, all these evil things come from within, and they defile the person." The Gospel of the Lord. When I was a child, there was one boy in my class who teased me and pestered me all the time. My aunt, who's just a couple years older than I, gave me this little ditty to say, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but your words can never hurt me." That gave me a real sense of power when I was 7, and I realized today that it doesn't carry the whole truth. Broken bones can heal, but we don't always recover from cruel and hateful words that are spoken against us. Words can hold us back and prevent us from being the best that we can be. Words are often used as weapons against one another. And there's a flip side as well. Words can be a source of healing and can give power to grow and power to be transformed. Words like, "You can do it. I understand. I'll be there for you." Those kind of words have the power to change and to transform. When you hear, "I love you," a gray day can be changed into a rainbow day. There definitely is power in the word. The Ten Commandments in Jewish tradition are often called the Ten Words. But unfortunately, too many people look at these laws as restrictions on our freedoms. Or, as in Alabama, where the monument of the Ten Commandments had to be removed from public view, too many people look at the Ten Commandments as a statement of belonging to a certain religion. This was not the case with the Israelites. They looked at the Ten Words as guides for living lives of wisdom and truth. They loved the law because in following it in that way was the way that they lived out their covenant with God. They knew they were in right relationship with God when they were keeping the law. They were serious about the law and about keeping it and protecting it. The group called the Pharisees were very serious about the law. They had developed a whole set of rules and traditions that acted as a kind of fence or protection around the law. And if one kept all of these traditions, Then one knew that there could be no chance of breaking the law. These traditions were safeguards and a further protection for the right living of the law. But as we see in today's gospel, the Pharisees got caught up in the traditions and forgot the law that was behind them. They were much more concerned about the letter than about the spirit. Common sense and right reason gave way to the particulars of the law, of the traditions. In church history class, I learned about a father who wanted his children to know that it was through the death of Jesus that they were saved. This is a good teaching. This is a truth. And it's a good thing for a pastor to pass on to his children. And Jacob Fabricius wanted his children to know this truth. His manner of teaching this was a little strange, however. He dressed his children all in red, only in red, all of their lives. 11 kids in the parish, all dressed in red. What kind of a statement is that making? The children rejected that and as they got older, and because they had forgotten the law behind, the reason behind it. They had only seen this idea that their father had. This is a way to help them remember that Jesus died for them. All they thought is red clothes, only red, all the time. The heart of it was forgotten. The rules and traditions that were to protect the law were enforced in a way that the law itself or the teaching itself was forgotten. That's what happened to this group of the Pharisees. They got caught up in keeping the peripheral rules and the traditions that they forgot about the heart of the law that those traditions were meant to protect. When we study the Ten Commandments, or the Ten Words, we can see that they provide for us a clear picture of a God who is committed to justice. God required the people to live honorably in society, respecting one another, respecting property. These words were words of life. We hear James talk about the word in our second reading today. He insists that it's not enough just to hear the word and claim faithfulness. I guess James would say that you can't wear the t-shirt if you're not going to play on the team, that you have to bring forth fruit. There has to be action in our lives in response to the word. We live out our covenant with God by responding to that word that was poured over us in baptism. We have been washed in the water, and to use my favorite analogy, we live our life by walking wet. Jesus was fairly rough on those who questioned his adherence to the law. Let's take a closer look at this gospel passage. Mothers will be happy to hear that this reference to hand washing is ceremonial washing rather than cleaning the dirt off of one's hands. Can't you just hear the conversation? Go wash your hands and get ready for dinner. No, Jesus said I don't have to wash my hands. I don't care what Jesus said. Now go wash your hands and don't forget to use the soap. And I'm also hoping that I never see this gospel passage printed out and hung in a restaurant, especially in a restaurant where I've ordered a salad. I want to make sure that the people who are handling the food that I'm going to eat have washed their hands. But the hand washing that is talked about in this passage is not talking about cleaning the dirt from under one's fingernails. Rather, it refers to a ritual washing, to a religious act. It's not just dirt that affects a person during the common acts of a day. Those common duties, whether toiling in the soil or working in the wood shop or carrying water for the duties of the day, those common duties made one's hands common too. and they needed to be purified, made holy again. It's this kind of purifying washing that is referred to in this gospel. Jesus is talking about making oneself pure, not just about washing hands. This could be a rather confusing passage. What's clean on the inside? What's clean on the outside? How things get clean and unclean? What is defiling and what is not defiling? But there is no confusion about our salvation. It is God who is on the outside, who comes to our inside to purify us. What a gift we have in Holy Communion. It is, in a very tangible way, God coming to our inside of our lives. God purifies our conscience, our heart, our desires, our thoughts, our wills, so that we can have good coming out from the inside of us. But we also live with the truth that our natural, defiled state is present with us as well. Martin Luther said that we are at once, simultaneously, saint and sinner. It's only the Word of God inside us that we can have anything pure coming out. Our heart, our core, is made pure only through the Word that is Jesus Christ alive in us. I heard it said once that we all suffer from heart disease, a kind of spiritual arterial sclerosis that has only one cure, and that is the healing medicine of the grace of Jesus Christ. In the Bible, the heart is not just the organ that pumps blood, not just this major organ that keeps us alive. The heart is your core, your center. The word heart is used to talk about the whole person, the total self. A pure heart is a life that is dedicated and directed toward God, devoutly, totally for the Lord. God sees the heart and searches our inmost being. We've heard that phrase, hardness of heart, that is used to describe the enemies of God, like the Pharaoh in Egypt. But it's also used in the Old Testament sometimes to describe the chosen people of Israel. The Gospels talk about hard-hearted people, not only in reference to the Pharisees, like we heard today, but it's also on occasion used to describe even the disciples. A hard-hearted person is a self-centered person, unconcerned with spiritual things, shut off from God and the things of God, and shut off from the things that God would do with that person's life. The heart is where God is working. It's in our hearts that God's grace changes us and heals us. When Jesus looked at the Pharisees, he saw heart disease. He saw that they needed heart healing. Now, they were experts in keeping the law. They had become the holiness police. You probably know people like that in your life. I have to admit to a certain tendency to being a rule keeper. And without the grace of God active in my life, I know that that tendency would pull me away from the will of God rather than toward it. And this is what was happening with the Pharisees. They were so focused on the outside actions that they paid no attention to their inner attitudes. They went through the motions of all the traditions, but they had forgotten their deeper meanings. Their focus on the rules left them with no heart for a relationship with God. They washed their hands, but they did not have a clean heart. I like this story told by Anthony DeMello as an example of keeping the rules but forgetting the reason. This is why the cat came to church this morning. When the guru sat down to worship each evening, the church cat would get in the way and distract the worshipers. So he ordered the cat to be tied up during evening worship. Long after the guru died, the cat continued to be tied up during evening worship. When the cat eventually died, another cat was brought to the church so that it could be tied up during evening worship. Centuries later, learned treatises were written by the guru's disciples on the essential role of a cat in all properly conducted worship. Keeping the rules, but forgetting the reason. Jesus jabbed at the Pharisees because their heart was not in it. They criticized Jesus and his followers, but clearly missed the point. Frederick Buechner, one of my favorite contemporary authors, wrote, "Imagine a youngster learning to play the piano. The child holds his hands just as he's been told. He has memorized the piece perfectly. He has hit all of the proper notes with deadly accuracy, but his heart is not in it, only his fingers. What he is playing is a sort of music, but nothing that will start voices singing or feet tapping." When it comes to faith, are our hearts in it or just our fingers? Are we allowing God's renewing grace to work in our hearts? Are we willing to undergo the heart medication that is Jesus' grace so that we can be changed from the inside out? I have a Bible study on Thursday mornings. It's a joy to see people who are interested in spiritual growth and renewal. Helen Cagle, until her recent move to the convalescent hospital, was a regular member of this class. At 100 years old, Helen teaches us that it's never too old, never too late to experience the ongoing, transforming presence of God in our lives. We're never too old for God to work on our hearts, for God to work on us from the inside out. May your heart be open to God and to the Word of God that is God's grace in you. Our sermon hymn today is a beautiful prayer asking God to make our hearts good and open to the Word. We're going to sing through that hymn twice. And as we do, let those words be your prayer today. Let us stand and sing.